All right, here we are. December in Terre Haute and it snows. Yeah. Perfect timing on my part.
The first snow of the year.
Yeah. How's it going out there? A lot of slide offs?
It wasn't too bad. You know, usually that first snow or ice, people kind of, it gets a little crazy. But as I was listening to the police radio today, you know, there's your typical fender benders, but really I think people handled it very, very well. And so fortunately it was a wet snow and so it made for better traction, and so far so good.
Good. You know, we missed you last month due to the election. That Tuesday was election day. So Here we now, 2 months later, a lot has happened. But first off, I know you were hoping for a Trump-Pence victory because you said that the country needed change and you saw more change happening with that administration. It's happening. So that will start, of course, in January. What change are you hoping for?
You know, I'm looking at that economic side as a big driving factor. I would love to see us unleash the economy and do some things, kind of get government out of the way. I understand we need government regulations and there needs to be things in place, but I think we need to kind of start moving the other direction a little bit and use some common sense on and creating jobs in the United States. So whatever we have to do along those lines, whether it's EPA related regulations or any other kind of regulations, we need to do things to kind of free up the economy to grow. And right here in Terre Haute, you know, there's lots of opportunity, coal to the south of us. I'm just excited about, you know, a change of philosophy there. You know, there's no perfect candidate, there's no perfect leader, but if we all kind of work together to build our economy, that's going to have such a ripple effect in so many different places.
Just curious, were you surprised when you were watching election results come in that night?
Well, you know, a little bit, and then as the evening wore on, I was even more surprised. Some of the states that went for Trump were states that I just didn't really think he had a chance. So I thought maybe it'll be close, you know, because whether you're a Hillary fan or a Trump fan, you're kind of looking at the map and you're thinking, well, I thought that was a red state or I thought that was a blue state. And all of a sudden you started seeing this shift to Trump. And I thought, well, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But it was an exciting day. I mean, I think all elections are. If you're into politics, you know, you love elections, and I do too. It was just kind of exciting to watch that because it wasn't the way the media had portrayed the way this was going to play out. And so a lot of people were like, wow, this might really happen. And so, you know, I just hope, my hope and prayer for Donald Trump is that he gets in there and does all the things for the right reasons and helps grow our economy. That's probably the most important thing to me to see from our federal government.
And then taking that just to the statewide, of course, governor-elect Holcomb, have you had a chance to talk to him or work with him at all?
Well, I went and met with him yesterday, actually. I was in Indianapolis for some meetings, and I popped in and was able to see him. And we chatted about several different things and trying to get his take on regional cities and community crossings money and just some things going on here in Terre Haute to bring him up to speed, our home and center project and our 641 bypass getting ready to open, and kind of visiting a lot of different state-related topics. And great conversation. You know, he's a very pragmatic, down-to-earth kind of guy, and I'm looking forward to it. I think you'll see a lot of Mitch Daniels and Mike Pence in him. I think he's going to keep things moving in that same kind of a direction, so I wouldn't expect a lot of change from that perspective, but a focus on developing our workforce, working on infrastructure, roads and streets, all those things are music to mayor's ears, and so that's what we want to see.
So let's get to the Terre Haute budget, because we left off really on this show. I mean, a lot has happened and many people, I'm sure, are up to date, but we left off in October where you really needed a new revenue stream to balance out the budget for 2017. Mm-hmm. What did you end up doing?
Well, two things happened this year that were really critical. One is we got the trash fee earlier in the year that we've talked about, which helped our general fund dramatically. The other thing is getting the sanitary rate increase. You know, we were looking at a stormwater fee and a sanitary rate increase. The council decided to go with the sewer rate increase, the sanitary district side of things, to increase our revenues to be able to pay for these next projects that are coming. And so, you know, after a few months of, you know, really looking at the numbers that Umbaugh had presented and trying to find out where we would end up at, the council supported a two-phased rate increase. It's between 22 and 23%, depending on how you want to look at it, because it's compounded. And so it's about 10% less than what we had asked for, knowing that they weren't going to support the 33%. But I think we can work with that. We can make it happen. And it's just great to get both of those things behind us. So it helps our sanitary side of the budget, and it helps our general fund side of things. So what I would expect at the end of this year, our general fund will be in the positive, about $500,000 of excess revenue that will go against our deficit. Next year, it'll be about $1 million. And then if any other revenue sources would come in, like the local option income tax or anything else, then we'll be able to eliminate that deficit very, very quickly and build our reserves, and we'll be in great shape. So we're moving in the right direction. I feel really good about this year from a fiscal perspective. And now we're just, it's moving on down the road here in a positive way.
And just to refresh our memory, how big is that deficit that's carrying
over?
Well,
we carried into this year, it was about $8.9 million in the general fund. Overall, we had about $30 million to the positive, but the general fund had an $8.9 million negative. So we expect it to be around 8.4, or maybe even a little less than that. So we'll continue to reduce that as we go forward.
So then what needs to happen starting, not looking too far ahead, but January 1st next year in order to keep working on that?
Well, we were able to cut the budget for next year, so that's a good thing. We're going to continue to look at anything we can, whether not really seeking new revenues. If the public safety local option income tax comes in, which seems fairly reasonable and likely in order to pay for the jail, the city will benefit from some of the funds of that, and that really totally eliminates our problem. And so, we'll just see how that, and if it doesn't, we'll be able to deal with it, or it'll just take a little bit longer.
Sure. I see Terre Haute's first riverfront apartment proposal was also approved, and I believe this is the first residential development next to the river.
Yes.
Is that right?
So really exciting. It's an old American can plant from way back when. It was a Pillsbury plant at one time. It was kind of a distribution center most recently, but it's been vacant for several years. ISU bought it, and their plan was to do something with it. And they looked at it over a course of a couple of years and decided it just wasn't feasible. Too much money to rehab that building. Well, along comes Core Development, who did the Deming Hotel, old Deming Hotel here in downtown Terre Haute, and turned it into the Deming Apartments now. And they were very interested in this building all along. And so they've stepped up. We created a TIF district just around that particular property. And they're going to spend about $25 million in there and create about 180 market rate apartments right on the Wabash River, right on the western edge of the ISU campus, right in the middle of where we hope lots of future activities occur. And so it's a huge catalyst on kind of that north side. It's just a great project, and creating the TIF district then allows them to use the tax money that would have never been generated. It was not for profit with ISU. And so now we're generating tax dollars that helps their project work. And then later on down the road, we'll be able to collect those property tax dollars. So, it's a win-win for everybody and a huge development on the river.
Is this looking to be more of student type housing?
No,
you said market rate.
So I wanted to know. There'll always be a few students that have money that will want to live there, but their target is professionals, ISU professionals, business professionals downtown, people who want to live in new loft style apartments that are going to be really first class.
Do you know how much of that building is actually going to remain? Are they renovating it, or
they're going to renovate the whole thing? Nope, not going to tear any of it down. They're just going to renovate. It's a big building too, and so as I said, about 180 apartments. They're still working on the final design, but it'll be very close to that.
And then, like you said, you're hoping that this kicks off other projects. I just drove by it on the way here and see that the Indiana State Athletics has field. I think there's a track and field area there.
Yep.
So this is prime area.
Yeah, and later on down the road, ISU intends to build a new football stadium in that area if the funding, comes about. And so you're going to see continued growth. There's another apartment complex building just a block to the east of that that'll be starting construction in the spring. And so, we're going to have two major residential projects right there within a two block area. It's just really going to make that side of the community grow.
Is it hard to get developers to look at the river, or is the river a destination? At one point it wasn't.
No, and I think we still have work to do, but Core Development, obviously this building is there, and that's their kind of the thing they do. They love to go in and find an old building and give it new life. And so perfect fit with their company. But from our perspective, what we're trying to do with Riverscape and everything else, it's a catalyst to get people to live right on the river. The trail comes along there, be able to connect them all the way down to I-70 along the river. So it's all that quality of life kind of stuff that people are looking for.
So is road construction season over for now, or is there more to come?
Well, road construction season's over for this 2016, but we're really excited about Margaret Avenue. You know, the bids just recently came back. We had a few little tweaks we had to do to get the formal bid finished. That's happening right now. Came in under bid, which is great for us. We're going to save a little bit of money. But what'll happen next is utility relocation will begin to happen from 14th or Canal Road out to 25th Street. The overpass will go in at 19th and Margaret, so construction will get underway next spring or summer once all the utilities are relocated. So very excited about that project.
I wanted to ask, too, about a meeting that we record this on Tuesday. This gets played back on a Wednesday, so the meeting will be over. But tonight, there's a Vigo County jail proposal. What's on the table?
So what's happening is the commissioners, Vigo County commissioners, are updating the Vigo County Council. And they're having the meeting here because of a recount going on down at the county. But the idea being to bring them up to speed on what the consultants are telling them. Here's how much it's going to be. How are we going to fund it? There's a couple of options to fund it and really try to begin to share more of that information with the public. So as they update the council, then obviously the media will be able to communicate that back to our general public here, because they've got to build a new jail. There's no question about that. They're under the ACLU lawsuit. It's been going on for 10 years. And the way the system has changed in Indianapolis, the way there's more criminals that are kept local, not going to state prisons, they're going to need more space. And so it's time just to move on. And I think that's what the commissioners are telling the council, that are trying to work together then to come up with a solution. So obviously we will take everybody rearrest to this new jail. And so it's very important to us. And as members of the community, we want them to be successful with this. And so they're really trying to get that figured out, how to pay for it and get it underway.
Now this is it's a county jail, but it's something that's also used by the city.
Absolutely.
There aren't separate facilities. So how much does the city have input and funding into this?
Well, we don't fund, you know, obviously if you live in the city, you're paying county taxes, so it goes to those services. But you know, we arrest probably about 60% of the people, maybe a little higher than that, that go to the jail, you know, because the majority of the population lives in the city. And so you're always going to have that kind of a demand that we're going to put on a jail system. And this jail only holds about 268 people. It's always running over 300. So, you know, it's time for them to do an expansion to be able to accommodate and get people off the streets and keep them in a good, safe, and secure jail environment.
You know, and that's something I just saw yesterday in Indianapolis, where Mayor Hogsett there is talking about new programs to treat people and try to get them in a path of not having to be in jail, but maybe diverting them to other programs. Is that something that gets looked into here too?
I think down the road more of that will, because there are more people that need to be incarcerated, obviously, and they can't. There's no room for them in the jail. They keep really the worst of the worst in there until they have their initial court hearing. And so, you know, there are people that need addictions programs or mental health services, no question. And I follow a lot of that with what's going on, because now you've got a new mayor looking at things with a fresh set of eyes and kind of seeing the same problems, that there needs to be a balance. There needs to be an investment in those type of programs, but you've also got to have secure facilities to hold people too. So I think it's kind of there's a lot of pieces to this, and we need to make sure that we fund and do those things that get the taxpayer the best return on their investment, but helps people to turn their lives around.
Every year, I believe this time of year, you have a holiday festival called Miracle on 7th Street, but you really expanded it this year and thousands came.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
It's always the first Friday in December. And so here just recently this year they decided to expand it to 2 days. So it's Friday night and Saturday, and we added a parade. So the organizers of this event, we've been talking about it for several years. And so we finally able to pull it off this year with the sponsorship of St. Mary of the Woods College. And we had over 60 units in our first parade. There were crowd estimates were about 7,000 to 8,000 people who were watching the parade. It was an unbelievable turnout downtown. It was just so exciting to see everything lit up for Christmas, but seeing so many people walking downtown and shopping and eating and participating in a variety of activities, it was just like making you think back in the old days kind of a thing. And we'll never be able to recreate what happened, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, but we've sure created a new vision for downtown and creating a new destination, I guess. People are coming back to downtown Terre Haute.
Speaking of excitement, too, you know, we never really get to talk sports, but we have to mention the big ISU basketball victory over Butler.
Yes. you know, ISU's got a lot of young players, so you never know what's going to happen, but they've lost some close games prior to that. So I didn't know what was going to happen that night either. I attended that game, and it was a really exciting game to watch. We had a great turnout. The students came out in full force, and to knock off a Butler program that's so strong this year. I mean, you see they've reloaded, and they're going to be really good. It was just great to see ISU get such a quality win.
Well, here it is, the end of the year, kind of looking back over 2016. Maybe what are some of those moments that you're just so excited or proud about?
Well, I was really happy to get the trash fee. I know, you know, nobody wants to pay any more money, but you talk about a challenge for us of losing over $10 million a year out of our general fund, and we need to make some of that up. We've cut the budget, can't really cut it anymore without a huge degradation in services, so we were sitting with, we need about $2.5 million of revenue. And so we took a big chunk out of that by putting this trash fee in place. So a big relief for me and the whole community that things settled down a little bit in that general fund. Getting that sanitary district, the stormwater fee, and you know, we went through that battle for several months and finally got that behind us with an actual sewer rate increase that will allow us to fund these next projects that are coming. So we're going to stay in compliance with the EPA. Those aren't flashy things, but they're important things about the health and financial health of the city and staying on track with the Fed. So those were two huge things. Seeing the additional development, especially in the downtown area with housing, seeing some activity out on 46 that we know was coming, lots of interest in our industrial park down on the south side. And so from a community perspective, I think a lot of positive things happened. There was a lot more good vibes, I guess, this year. And I think you're going to see some payout and some return on that next year as hopefully the economy will really take off in Indiana and Terre Haute specifically. So I'm excited about you know, the future. It was a year where we kind of, you know, there were struggles at times, no question. But boy, we can start 17 with kind of a fresh approach, get some of those financial issues behind us, and really, you know, work on the economic development side of things for the next 12 to, you know, 24 months. That's going to be my focus.
Well, yeah, and that's what I was going to ask now. I mean, there was always a few things that you just, I just wish we could have done this or could have gotten that done. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, you know, and sometimes there's only so much time in the day, and things come that take priorities away from you, and you name it. Sometimes people wouldn't believe the things I have to deal with in my office, and I'm not complaining. You just don't know what's going to distract you next. And to get some of those big things behind us from the council perspective, we put a lot of energy and a lot of effort into that. It sucked up a lot of time. Here now, and as we move forward, those things, we don't have to deal with that anymore, and we can focus a lot more of our attention to economic development related things, continue to work on public safety. We want to do a lot of things with social media. We're really looking at some different platforms and ways we can ramp that up to communicate more with the public. And so we've got a lot of things we want to do, but we just haven't had the resources to put into it, and now we do.
And I guess before we go, Happy Holidays, Merry Christmas,
yeah, you know,
Happy New Year.
I can't, this year went really fast, I can tell you that. Snowing today, you know, and the Christmas spirit is alive here. I really feel that. And, you know, I just want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And I just hope that, you know, you're blessed in a special way, each and every one of you that are listening to this. And, you know, we're just excited about Terre Haute.